spanning south of Birmingham to north of Huntsville, from Tuscaloosa to Gadsden, with parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in for good measure. This is Right Side Radio, not with your normal host, Phil Williams. Obviously, he is out with a work situation today. Hope to get him back a little bit later today. But again, this is State Representative Ernie Yarbrough, District 7, more importantly, husband and father. And thrilled and privileged to be with you here today. We had a little monologue there about freedom and how we solve problems and craft politicians. Going to move into that triple dipper of making America local again. Now, that was my campaign slogan, actually make Alabama local again. And so if you're wondering, like, what's kind of the idea there? Well, the idea there is that we solve our local problems, we solve our problems, we solve our needs, we meet the demands of the hour first and foremost through local freedoms and liberties, local resolution, local action, local resources, so that the people really are active in being a self-governing people. And so when we see the top-down centralization and we get those things removed from the people, then the solutions become impersonal, they become impractical, and they cost a lot of money. Well, how do you win an election when you're dealing with a lot of centralization and it seems like the lobbyists or the big money folks pick somebody who they want to be their candidate? Well, I've got in the studio here with me today my cousin Crystal, and she is going to share with us some stories along with myself about how is it that we actually knock doors. Crystal, you remember, we were outfunded about 5-1 or 6-1, actually, $300,000 from Montgomery to my opponent, $50,000 or $60,000 to us. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you helped us actually overcome that 6-1 deficit.
Well, I'm Crystal. I'm Ernie's first cousin. We grew up together, and yeah, he tried to kill me a couple times growing up. So, I don't even really know.
Well, it all started when, thankfully, you ended up getting yourself hurt at work and got yourself where you had to have availability for me. And then I had a crazy idea and said, Crystal, we're going to overcome all this money by knocking 8,000 doors. You got any free time? Turns out you had some free time.
Yeah, I had a lot of that. And he wasn't kidding when he said 8,000 doors.
There we were. And so I said, hey, I got this little I-360 app, and let's look at some maps. And so off we went, mostly across Lawrence County.
And there's places in Lawrence County I never knew existed.
We discovered them, did we not? Matter of fact, we almost got eat up by dogs, I believe. And you had a brilliant idea. We were out knocking doors. So, yeah, you are. You know, you're knocking doors. You're meeting farmers. You're meeting common folk. You're knocking teachers. You know, people get just, you know, the salt of the earth kind of people. And but those salt of the earth people like their animals.
Well, a lot of people are by their pets like they are by their children. I, for one, am.
That's right. And some of them are actually protection animals.
So instead of, you know, Ernie would kiss the babies, I would take care of the dogs and let Ernie do the campaigning. So that was right up my alley.
That's right. Matter of fact, one time we were knocking some doors, talking to folks, and I knew I was in the right neighborhood when a guy opened the door with a gun drawn, and I said, hey, man, he saw me pull up, and I said, hey, I'm a big gun fan, Second Amendment, like a gun, and I'm just here to ask for your votes, and then he put it back in the holster, and we had a great conversation. Another time, had dogs chase me, and I had to climb up the pole of a house or a column on the front porch until you had a brilliant idea.
Yeah, it's like, Ernie, we need dog treats, because you know how much dogs love dog treats. So actually what really come down to it, we would pull up at houses and I would see the big mean dogs and I'd be like, Ernie, I'm going to let you knock this house. I'll sit right here. And if you hear me yell, you know the dog's on the move. It's time for you to be on the move.
That's right.
Wasn't no dog treat going to help on some of them dogs.
And then we go out the road when we just pull up, we both put our hands in the dog treat bag, grab dog treats, and just get out and pray and throw.
Yeah, so, pretty much.
What I'm hearing is that if folks want to help their local politicians, they need to show up with a box of dog treats get out there and help you knock doors and entertain the dogs. Is that
absolutely? Go in pairs of, like, hey, Jesus sent them out 2 by 2. Go out by 2 by 2. Right? You got to have one person to throw out the dog treats. And one person to do the campaign and the talking. So, Yeah, but it was great. The experience too was really awesome. You know, outside of the funny things and the funny, we had so many stories that we could share. But there were times when you'd knock doors, and it was really right after COVID, and there were a lot of heartbroken people. Some farmers had lost their loved ones. Hardship people were closed up in their houses, you know, and it was just a time where there were times when we didn't even get to actually asking for their vote. We would just end up praying with them and crying.
Yeah, and, you know, the elderly, the people that didn't have very many visitors were just like, you'd be there 30 minutes, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
They'd invite you in for supper. They'd be like, oh, you come back, son, and I'll have you some supper and some cornbread, and y'all just come on. And,
for
you
sure.
know, you didn't mind it because that made their day.
And so many people told me, you're the first person that's ever knocked my door, and I'm going to vote for you, son, because you knocked my door and you asked my vote, and you asked me what my thoughts were, my hurts, my frustrations, and what I wanted to see better. And that was really moving to me because it was like I just fell in love all over again with the district that I live in and the people and hearing their stories. It was something I will never forget for as long as I live. It changed me. I like to think more than it changed the folks that I talked to. It was incredible.
There's incredible people in our district, and I will have to say, sometimes you just knock a door, and they just be like, is he against the gas tax? Oh, yes, sir, he's totally against that. Hey, I'm voting for him. Have a good day.
Right. Sometimes it didn't take much. It didn't take much, but they didn't take long in the conversation before they realized that, you know, I was probably fairly conservative, and that's my district. You know, that's a pretty accurate representation. But again, not just being the principal, but also like loving the people, getting out there, talking to
connecting
them,
with
connecting
them.
With them, and finding like the meet and drink, right, is just
that
to be with the
people.
You're
just like they are.
That's right.
You're not no different. You're normal.
And being a voice, putting yourself out there where you can go knock the doors, make time to sit with the people. And like I said, sometimes they wanted you to just pray with them. Sometimes they just wanted to cry. They tell how they lost a loved one. But whatever it was, just being available and being there. How do you compete with that big money? Well, you compete with that big money first and foremost by putting yourself out there, knocking the doors, winning the hearts of your fellow people so that they know you love them. And regardless of what comes down the pike, you're going to stand with them. So we'll come back with Crystal here in a few minutes. We'll talk some more about campaigning and how we did it. That's a wrap right now for the Right Side Radio. We'll see you back soon. Ernie Yarbrough sitting in place for Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, we're talking in the first header of our triple dipper here about Make Alabama and Make America Local Again. Again, coming back with my cousin Crystal in the studio. We've been talking about just sharing some great stories about what we did jumping in. But, you know, knocking doors, but sometimes you feel like we're talking with butters over the break. You feel like, you know, part of the challenge here as you start off is, what can I do? I'm paralyzed. Like, I'm not part of the big machine. I'm not the money-backed person by the lobbyists or the whatever, the pick of the high and mighties. How can I make a difference, right? And so sometimes the first thing we have to do, and this was a cool experience for me, was some steps for how do you empower yourself. And part of that was really tapping into, first of all, just principles, what I knew was right. And I had to settle in my soul that, you know, we've got to start making decisions to operate and go for the gusto and swing for the fences based on our principles and based off the fact that, you know, we were a nation that was built on an idea and on principles. And that's what led to the greatest nation in the world. this idea that we hold all men, is self-evident. We hold all men to be created equal, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, right? And so the documents that we read, it's always amazing to me. And as a kid, my dad, of course, gave me, hey, here's your Bible, here's the Constitution, here's the Declaration of Independence, here's the Bill of Rights. And these are all these documents, you know, Ronald Reagan, you know, quotes, where it's always principle, these lofty ideas. And so that's really where, for me, the foundation started for wanting to run for office, was we've got to get back to principled thinking. We've got to get back to, first of all, being willing to say, before we start crafting solutions, right, we have to know what we believe. We have to know our principles and our foundation. And so once we know the foundation, we know the principles, now we're ready to start crafting solutions. And it ought to be in such a way that when you look at the house, as it were, like it matches the blueprint, right? The house on top of the foundation, okay, yep, there's an obvious connection. One matches up. This is obviously limited government. This is obviously lower taxes. This is obviously giving power back to the people. This is obviously a faithful model of the principles that all the conservatives, Republicans, but even more importantly, conservatives celebrate when they talk about the things that they believe in and when they run for office. Because after all, let's just admit it, anybody in Alabama that runs, they all love Jesus. They love coffee, football, and supposedly low taxes. Yeah, Roll Tide, War Eagle, low taxes, and they're pro-life. They all are, right? Well, the reality is that we wouldn't have the mess and the problems that we have if that was the case. So getting settled with this idea of making America and Alabama local again, that we got to start with prioritizing our local rights and freedoms and liberties under God. And that's where we got to start when we start crafting solutions. But then what do? Right? You still maybe feel like, okay, I got my convictions. I know here's how the conservative principle comes out for welfare or education and school choice and X, Y, and Z. But if I'm going to run for office, got to start crafting a plan. How am I going to attack, as it were, the machine or this feeling of helplessness that sometimes pervades that we are tempted to give into? And so it was a blessing for me. Started off, had some people that encouraged me, poured into me, gave me their wisdom. And then my cousin Crystal came along once we launched the campaign, started knocking doors. But we had to have a plan, right? You got to craft a plan, a blueprint for success. And that blueprint, I know you helped me several times. We hopped into that I-360 app and we started looking at configuring, hey, let's map out the districts where all the homes are. Right? Yep. You got to eat the elephant one bite at a time, right? You got to, like, remember that I love quoting movies, The Patriot. What did he say? Aim small, miss small, right? And so we had the Braveheart principles, right? When Braveheart, you know, and I love that movie, Mel Gibson, where she tries to give him the bag of gold and says, hey, you're winning. Well, more or less, I'm going to ad lib here. You're winning freedom for your people. Go home. We'll give you castles. We'll buy you off. Here's you a bag of gold. He says, no. He says, so I can be Judas. And she says, well, no, this is how peace is made. He said, no, this is how slaves are made, right? And so we have those fiery principles, but then you got to start to have a plan to execute. You got to aim small, miss small. And so whether you're talking about county commission race, state representative race, right, you got to identify the literal geographical parameters of where it is that you want to run for office. And then you got to make a plan. You got to back into that plan piece by piece and take it apart to begin to engage the actual voters whose vote you want to win and whose hearts you want to win to you. And so, Crystal, maybe talk about for a minute as we were doing this, talk about, you know, as we were going through and seeing this, maybe some of the plans that we actuated and breaking up communities, and how we targeted, how you went in there and we would target, like you would go to certain houses or you might even go and free me up to talk for a while. Just some of your experiences and how we kind of broke apart and attacked this problem.
Well, at first we were together, you know, we kind of went through the ropes together, and as we learned more about it, we did split off and like take a section, and you'd start at, say, the north side. I would start at the south side, and we would work until we met in the middle, and guess where we always met at? A food place,
yeah.
How much weight will you gain during an election?
A lot. Door knocking doesn't burn calories, turns out, as good as CrossFit does. But also, one of the things that we did was we looked at the overall map and we said, look, okay, the meat of District 7 is this middle part, right, this Lawrence County. So let's start on the bookends. Let's knock doors and then get those done so that then we can focus on the meat of the district in terms of the number of votes, right? And then we would take apart, just focus on using some technology that's out there, some great technology that tells you which doors to knock and how to check those off and keeping notes were engaging. We would keep notes on, hey, all right, this subdivision, we're going to take it apart. We'd break it apart and you go this way, I'll go that way. We'll, as what was it? As it, Diamond Rio said, we'll meet in the middle.
Yeah, you know, people thought we were casing the place.
That's right. That's like I said before, in the last session, we did have a gun drawn on us, which was interesting, but he was good once he realized that we were conservatives asking for votes. But really, you know, that was, to me, I mean, I get it. I was daunted. I was like, it seems like it's, you know, I'm going to do.
It's overwhelming.
I've never run for an office, and I'm going to go for a state representative first. You know, it can be overwhelming.
Yeah, why you couldn't do a really local.
Right.
But it was overwhelming, but once you got started and you really got out and you started meeting the people,
that's it.
It become more of kind of like, it wasn't a job, it was kind of like a hobby, and you loved it, and you couldn't wait to go home, get rested up, and go out the next day and just meet incredible people.
That's right. Yeah, it's like at first it started, you felt like, how can I do this? And it's like the old hymn we sing at church, each victory helps you the next one to win, right? So you go out in one day, and like, wow, I'm just getting to meet people and talk and hear their story. And it just, you know, the more you got into it, the routine, you figured out the flow of the mechanics of it, and your feeling of helplessness melted away.
And then you recruited drivers.
Then we recruited drivers.
And I had the best. She could do a 360 in my little car, a drop of a hat.
Yeah, we had some great times with some driving adventures and some folks who knew how to put pedal to the metal.
Shout out to Lisa Hill.
That's right, absolutely. And you know, once we got
not violating any traffic laws, I'm sure.
Not at all.
Never.
No, not at all. Never. No, always never. Within the bounds of legality.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure that we set the record straight.
The left lane is a criminal lane,
right? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, we are the people in the party of law and order. So that's definitely what we followed at every situation. We were even so kind that we, as we said last segment, we loved on the animals.
No, you become friends with a sheriff. I mean, really good friends with a sheriff.
That's right. Well, there's that too, because you find out from him where the normal call-ins are for the wild animals, and so you try to avoid those. And it turns out, actually, believe it or not, when they have to do some drug raids or some problems with meth, turns out people that cook meth keep packs of wild dogs around their mobile homes. So we found that out too, and found out places to avoid as the law enforcement was doing their job. Kudos to Sheriff Max Sanders. But we had some wild adventures there. But, you know, just jumping in there and getting after it, you know, eventually you didn't feel helpless anymore, right? You felt empowered, right?
You felt like you were family.
Yeah. You lost the sense of bigness in a bad way. And it was big, but it was close, right? Because you were meeting people, hearing their stories, talking to them. And it's just like, wow, I can't, you know, we can do this. And then we, like you said, we brought more people in because, hey, to quote Hillary Clinton, but taking her entirely out of context because that's the only way I can quote her and make a good point, is it takes a village. But it takes a village of people who are not government cronies in big government, but it takes a village of local covenant community who are on the same page, who sacrificed. I mean, my dad he went out and put signs all over the place. He had strings of sign putting out in the evenings. We got to where we not only were not afraid to knock doors, we weren't afraid to ask people in our covenant community group who had skill sets to use them when it worked for their window of time.
Yep.
You know, and that was huge because next thing you know, we're knocking doors and we'd show up in a place we hadn't even been, and there's like 10 signs for us.
So did you lean on any, I mean, what type of groups were you getting? Were you getting church groups? Other?
Yeah, so we started off with family, closest circle, right? And then our church groups. And then I got contacted by Young Americans for Liberty. They're a group that's out there wanting to see, you know, freedom-loving reps and senators, you know, run for state races. We started at our local pool. And honestly, once we had about 10 committed people, man, 10 committed people work in slots where they can, and just consistency over time, man, it's tremendous.
Yeah.
It really changed the dynamics of the race to where, you know, the folks who were not, you know, who were in the opposite camp, even when they take notice of why are there signs everywhere? It's like you knew you were doing good.
Well, I know we get folks that will call in or write in on the show, like, well, where do I go? What do I do? You know, what can I plug into? And I mean, guys, I think you're listening to the story right here. That here's the answers. Yeah. You know, from my own experience, something as small as being on the board of the high school band.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
Like, I mean, that's a place to start, at least to be plugged into the quote unquote, the system.
I even saw Moms for Liberty had a Facebook group where there's these moms now say, hey, here's openings on the library board. There's people out there that are now catching this fire that if we go, we look, we locally just make these places available, you know, maybe the people will see, hey, you know what? Let's stop sending missionaries to, you know, God bless the foreign countries, mm-hmm. but our own home is our mission field now. Because if we don't capture the mission field of our home, we're not going to have anything to send from to. And so that's my experience in this was, man, what a privilege to just get so fired up about our own home front first, you know. And then now all of a sudden I see these other groups going that I'm sure were there before. I just didn't have eyes to see it because, you know, I wasn't doing it yet. You know, but now COVID was a huge wake-up call for me and my family, and now you're seeing it happen. People pop up, and it's just, it's contagious. It's exciting because you know you're making a difference. You know, all of a sudden now it's not, you know, it's not, hey, let's just get lost in entertainment and video games and, you know, the modern American dream, but this is like really falling in love with making a difference. So, and it was just, you know, the Bible says covet the best things, you know. And I'm sure, you know, you work out endorphins, you get a taste of the good stuff, and it's fun to get addicted to good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you see results, you know. So,
oh, yeah.
But, I mean, Crystal is just one example. We had so many laughs and tears and close, but so many of my family and friends really just starting what I had. And I didn't have to go too far outside of that before I had a committed body of about 10 people. My wife is tremendous with social media. A young lady coming on the call later today. She's also extremely gifted with social media and connections with people. Of course, Crystal knows, you know, umpteen dozen people across the county. So
I know
shout
somebody
out.
That knows somebody.
She does. So that was huge. And it was just like this, it created this core group of people who were just doing something special. And when we won the primary, never forget, we were in the H.A. Alexander, the gymnasium there. And we got together, and some of them were preachers and my father-in-law, and said, hey, let's just sing the doxology. And the acoustics in there was just really cool. So we did. We had like, I don't know, 40, like you, everybody else that was there, two or three people here and there for what their races were. We had like 40 or 50 people there just for my race. And just, it was incredible.
Wow.
We sang together, and people were just kind of watching in awe, like, wow, this is like a family unit. You know, it was a church unit too. But not all those people helped in the race, but they came together at the end with the core that were. And I mean, that's like when a local official or a statewide official, that's kind of a microcosm. When they know that the people have their back, man, it's just like, it just fires you up.
Well, I think, it's time for a break. Are we going to come back and talk some more about this?
Absolutely. We are. Yes, sir. Let's do it.
All right. Let me, take us to a break and, guys, we'll be back in just a second.